You're with us tonight, Art, and thank you for joining us, by the way.
Phil, it's my pleasure.
You're with us tonight to speak out on behalf of pilots all over the world who may suffer from a variety of physical maladies. There is a campaign now, the FAA and the airlines, to make sure that any pilot who is in any way debilitated physically or mentally is, as you put it, hounded out of the profession. Is that a fair assessment of what your work is about?
Well, Phil, I think it is. It's correct. There are a great many pilots who fly commercially, many of them with literally hundreds of thousands of hours of flight time. But because they have a physical condition that does not affect their ability to fly, and let me underline that, it in no way affects their ability to fly, that doesn't matter. They are being harassed by the FAA, and as you mentioned, the airlines, right out of their jobs, even though they have families to support, even though they put in a great many years, a lot of these people are sacrificing seniority and retirement.
Tell me, you have had a number of years as a pilot. You suffer as well from Parkinson's, correct?
That is correct, yeah.
And you have found it necessary to hide this from your employers?
Well, you do, Phil, because they don't understand that I still have I still got a very, very good ability to operate a commercial jet craft.
But with Parkinson's, wouldn't it be an understandable area of concern? I mean, potential passengers listening, for a pilot with Parkinson's, having control over the aircraft?
Well, I'll tell you why. In the modern age of aviation, Phil, it's nowhere near the concern that some people make it out to be. We have navigational equipment now that's second to none. It is computer operated. We have obviously GPS in all commercial aircraft now. The idea that you can't fly a plane because you may be affected by Parkinson's or in the case of one of my friends, an enlarged heart, or you might be manic depressive, these were a concern at one time. People think that if you have these conditions, that you're going to drop dead at any second. That's not the case. And the funny thing, if it is, even if we did, I always laugh and tell them, hey, have you ever heard of autopilot? You know, it sometimes amazes me that the FAA, in this publicity campaign of theirs, and it is a publicity campaign, and the airlines in their publicity campaign are going down this road, but I suppose I shouldn't be surprised.
Why do you call it a publicity campaign?
Well, I think the FAA is in a time where everybody is trying to justify their jobs. They're trying to show the public that they're worth every penny while they run around harassing good men and women out of their jobs, worrying about whether somebody has epilepsy or is bipolar or whatever, flying an aircraft. We sent a letter from our organization saying, have you ever heard of navigational equipment? Hello, you know. But it's just amazing how they've got their heads just buried deep in the sand in this one, Phil.
You are in touch with other pilots who have physical conditions that the FAA is concerned about.
Yes, I am, Phil.
Can you tell me about them, about their experience?
Well, Phil, I know pilots at all the major airlines, very capable men, and if the FAA knew of their physical or emotional conditions, they wouldn't let them fly, and yet they are flying aircraft, safely delivering passengers. I'll give you an example. A very dear friend of mine flies international quite a bit. He was just named to our union executive board. He is one of the most respected pilots in our industry. He suffers from a very light level paranoid schizophrenia, which is very treatable with medication. I have a friend for 20 years in the airline industry who is, for all intents and purposes, deaf. He cannot hear, but he's been able to adapt and is completely in control of the aircraft. And what he is not able to do, you put it on autopilot or you do whatever you have to do.
But I want to ask you about regular physicals, too, in a moment. I'm going to give our number out. We're talking with Art Criego, commercial aircraft pilot, who says that good men, good women are being hounded out of their jobs by the FAA and the airlines because of physical conditions that do not keep them from flying an aircraft safely. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, here on the Phil Henry Show with Art Criego. Before I ask you about the some of the other pilots and some of those conditions you're talking about. Let's get back to your condition, Parkinson's. Parkinson's is known to us through the manifestation, the symptoms of shaking, right?
Yeah, that's right, Phil. Absolutely.
All right. Now, it stands to reason, I think, anybody who's a novice, and that I am, that a pilot who has hands that are shaking may not have complete control of the aircraft.
It's just absolutely not a concern. When you are in the aircraft, and you may have forgotten to take your medicine that morning, or whatever reason, your blood sugar is not what it should be, and your hands begin to shake, first of all, your hands are not shaking to any degree that you're going to lose control of the aircraft. You know, the old joke about how there is such a thing as air turbulence, and there certainly isn't anything that's surprising to people. And I would challenge anyone in the FAA, I would challenge any pilot, I would challenge any listener of yours to tell me what the difference is between normal air turbulence and if a pilot who may have the condition of Parkinson's and may not have a steady hand on the wheel at any given time, what's the difference? There is no difference.
Well, what about landing the plane, taking the craft off?
All of that, Phil, is done by way of navigational equipment, computers.
And you mentioned one of your friends having paranoid schizophrenia.
Yes, but that is treatable by medicine.
I'm being a devil's advocate.
You can ask me anything.
All right. If a man is suffering from a disease like paranoid schizophrenia, where we know you can hear voices, you can see things, you can hear bells, you can smell things. In other words, the reality begins to disintegrate. If he doesn't take his medicine in the morning and he is in control of an aircraft, okay?
Operating an aircraft, I want to tell you this, Phil. Operating an aircraft is so easy today that the FAA and the airlines don't want you to know how easy it is, because they want this air of, I suppose, a sort of professional supremacy. And it's true with combat aircraft, Phil, and I say this with the greatest of respect for our great pilots in the theater of war right now in Iraq and Afghanistan. But the fact of the matter is, fighter bombers, fighter jets, you could theoretically, with the robotics that we have, with the computers that we have, you could put a baboon in the cockpit of one of these things and send him off, or it off, on a bombing run, successfully complete the mission, land it, pull the ape out of the cockpit, and, you know, as a friend of mine said, he'd be swinging from a vine and eating bananas before lunch and wouldn't know the difference. And
you're telling me an ape could fly a fight?
Well, I'm not saying literally, but it's just about that easy. So that even a man who, yes, suffers from a serious reality disintegrating mental ailment like schizophrenia could operate a commercial aircraft and
even greet the passengers as they're getting off.
I'm sorry, Phil?
If a guy's having a schizophrenic episode, he's just landed the aircraft, now he's standing at the door?
Yes, you could have him there for as long as it's not a very long period of time, a minute, 30 seconds, say hello, hi, how are you, and then you get him off the plane. But that's how easy it is.
Then you get him off the plane.
Well, you don't want to have someone who is schizophrenic, who has just come off the flight deck, acting in a bizarre way if any of the airline officials are around. We try to protect our own. But the fact is, that guy flew that plane, he landed that plane. Now you just get him into a car and get him off of the facility as quickly as possible.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I'm not in favor of a man losing his job, especially when he is doing a good job. The concern here, Art, is that the FAA and the airlines don't want pilots flying who may have maladies that could affect their ability to safely navigate an aircraft.
And that's entirely understandable.
But you're saying that the diseases and the maladies that you and other pilots are affected by, you have Parkinson's, you know people who have schizophrenia, you know one guy who is deaf. You told me you have another friend who is blind in one eye?
That is correct, yeah. Crack pilot, one of the best. And that, again, that puts to a lie this whole idea. I love these movies where, well, you've got to have, you know, 20/20 vision. It just isn't true. It just isn't true. Again, I don't mean to demean our great pilots in the theater of combat, but if an ape can fly a fighter jet over Afghanistan, then I think a primate could safely fly an aircraft from Los Angeles to San Francisco or what have you. And the only I'll tell you the danger you run are the panicking passengers seeing a monkey coming out of the cockpit instead of a pilot. You know,
well, come on, man, are you serious?
Well, no, I'm joking halfway, but the fact is the navigational equipment that we have today is amazing, and you can literally take that craft off, go to sleep, wake up when the alarm goes off, get set to land the aircraft, and that's your work day.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I'm sure that he's kidding when he says that a monkey could fly a fighter bomber, but he's basically saying that with today's navigational equipment and so on, you heard him, it just isn't the big deal to fly an aircraft as like it used to be, so that a lot of these pilots are being pushed out of their jobs, even if they have an ailment like Parkinson's. He mentioned manic depression, enlarged heart, kidney disorder, bladder dysfunction. These kinds of things should not keep you from commercially flying, even though the FAA wants these pilots out of the business. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. We're speaking with Art Griego. He's a commercial pilot who himself suffers from Parkinson's, and they're trying to keep their jobs. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. With an organization of other pilots who do suffer from physical maladies that would have them really put out of their jobs if the FAA knew. The FAA doesn't know. Now, you guys have to take physical exams.
That is correct, yes.
How are you possibly passing these physical exams?
Well, Phil, as a result of a pretty good network of doctors and some sympathetic people who work at various administrations inside the airline industry, we're able, thank God, to keep working without dealing with this bigoted bureaucracy that says I can't fly because I may not fit your description of what's required of a pilot. Remember, Phil, today's navigational equipment, I hate to say this, The reason they don't want us flying, the reason they don't want us in the air is not because we may be unsafe, Phil, but because they don't want it known that any monkey can fly a plane. And that's, as I said, it's true in combat, and this is not to disrespect the pilots.
Well, then why don't they just get monkeys to fly the planes?
Well, I'm saying that...
I know you're not speaking literally, but...
But you're making my point for me. We don't have to have these big, stringent physical requirements as if we're flying to the moon. You would think that the FAA is NASA, requiring all kinds of heavy physical regimen, because I think the FAA, in a lot of ways, is filled with frustrated guys who wished they were at Mission Control in Houston, and instead, they're going out and they're inspecting runways for potholes. You know, that's what we're dealing with here, Phil. And the other thing that I wanted to mention to you is that I really don't, and we said this...
Oh, yeah, okay, during the break, let me do it for you. You said you don't want to talk to pilots. Why?
Because they're going to come in with their loaded agenda, and they're going to try and confuse the issue. And so I'm asking if, I don't really want to talk to anybody in the airline industry because they're, on this issue, and I know a lot of great guys in the airline, but on this issue, they're just, you know, they're liars. And
all right, 1-800-449-8686. I'm given to understand that this isn't a pilot, but this is the wife of a pilot. Is that right, Diane?
That is correct.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
You know, I'm sorry. I have to disagree with you. I think that in critical situations, when there are emergencies, there is a reason to pass flight physicals.
Well, ma'am, what is your qualification to speak on this?
Well, my qualification is I've been married to a pilot for 30-something years.
Well, that, you're not a pilot yourself, though, correct?
That is correct.
All right, well, then...
But, I mean, if he is
you're talking
saying
to your
that,
husband when he comes home from work, that's one thing. But to actually do what I do...
If he is saying that, monkeys can fly the airplanes, then I think we should get some monkeys up there and save us from flight fares.
Well, Mr. Henry already said that, so you're sort of a day late and a dollar short with that comment. By the way, is Diane the name you use on all the talk shows that you call? Hello?
I have several aliases.
Yeah, and you call who? Have you ever called Rusty Humphreys?
Let me do the interview, please. All right, so, Diane, you don't think it's safe. Why?
Well, she doesn't know why, Phil. She's just, her husband is a pilot.
Let me ask her. Why don't you think it's safe?
I think that the FAA has good reasons for physical.
Well, ma'am, if you talk to your husband,
let the lady finish.
A quack that one, you're lying, and to begin with, you're lying, you're cheating the system.
I want to know. I will tell you honestly.
Dishonesty.
All right, but you're talking about dishonesty, and yet you're coming on this show with a fake name. Ooh, gotcha. Gotcha. That was easy.
How do you know it's a fake name?
Because you just said it was.
How do you know?
You go on, because you just said it was.
How do you know?
Because it's...
All right, come on. Let's talk about the issue at hand.
I want to know what name she uses when she goes on the Rusty Humphrey Show.
Yeah, this is pitiful. This is really funny.
Can I ask you a question?
You're absolutely cracking me up. And the reason you're cracking me up...
If you don't know about
...is that, you know, you get a bunch of idiots on here, and then you don't want... Then you invite me to call, and then you don't want to hear my opinion.
I listen to your opinion,
you know,
ma'am, but you're not a pilot.
In other words,
you're not a pilot.
Then you should
put
on the air.
I'm a pilot.
Hold on for a minute, Diane.
If he is so afraid to talk to a pilot,
all right,
then he shouldn't even be on the air. What does he want? If he doesn't want a wife, if he wants an ignorant person, who does he want to call in?
Ma'am, I'm just asking you.
I mean,
there are some professions. You called me dishonest, and yet your real name is like Debbie or Susie.
If he wants to, you
doesn't
know,
matter
come
what her
in
name
and
is.
Complain about this, but yet he doesn't want anybody to challenge his thoughts.
All right, hold on. I want to, Diane. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on for a minute, Jesus. All right. The point that she's trying to make here is that you do not want to listen to anybody's point of view. All you want to do is just talk.
I don't want to listen to pilots.
All right, this lady's the wife of a pilot. So when she called in and said this, you said, well, you're just a wife. What do you know?
What does she know?
Well, then why don't you want to talk to pilots?
Because those guys are liars. And that woman calls in the Rusty Humphrey Show with the name Beulah or some baloney, okay? And you're taking her call. Now, Mr. Henry, I've been on a lot of talk shows. I did the Rusty Humphrey Show. He's a lying, thieving, backstabbing fat man. And I'll never do his show, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because Mr. Humphrey called me, and I've never been called this before, a turd, because I felt it was necessary to be able to have employment in the airline industry without worrying about whether or not I've got Parkinson's. Okay? Millions of Americans are relegated to the garbage can of our economy because Diane there doesn't think they should fly. Why?
Well, look, the lady had a point. There's a safety issue, and if you're going around the safety issue with doctors...
Well, we're not. And like I said, she's upset because she doesn't like the idea that she married a man all those years ago only to find out that a chimpanzee could do his job.
Okay. 1-800-449...
I'm not bitter.
Well, it sounds like you're a little bit bitter. Here's Larry. Larry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I would just like to make a comment about, you know, the chimpanzee being able to do the show. I am a pilot. I'm an ex-military pilot.
How did this guy get through?
What's that?
Keep talking, Larry. I'm not going to keep pilots off the air, Mr. Griego, because you don't want to talk to them.
What happens with these pilots and stuff is that I'm sure a chimpanzee could probably fly one of these commercial jets, but to that lady's point, I personally, who now fly commercially for business, I'm not interested in having a chimpanzee up there in the event of an emergency. I'm sorry he has Parkinson's. I'm sorry that there's people that have paranoid schizophrenia, but it doesn't matter to me. The safety of the safety of the people on the ground come first.
Absolutely.
They're not going to respond to that. Who cares what the likelihood is?
What's the likelihood of it?
If you're in a car crash, you might be able to walk away.
You're going to say that you're a pilot and it's safe to fly if you have Parkinson's and it's safe to fly if you're paranoid schizophrenic and it's safe to be a professional pilot, as you have said, if you have an enlarged heart or are bipolar or have a kidney failure or whatever, then I want to get the opinion of other pilots. That's all.
But the other pilots, Phil, are passing their physicals, brushing their teeth every morning, making their bed, and doing everything that the FAA wants them to do. And
well, isn't that called being a professional? I mean, they're regulating agencies.
No, not when they're keeping me out of a job or trying to keep me out of a job because I happen to have Parkinson's disease.
Because you happen to have Parkinson's. All right, now Larry is hanging on because we didn't have time for him. Go ahead, Larry.
When you think about it, it's a business. When you look at the airlines, they wouldn't put two pilots in that cockpit if they didn't have to. The reason they do that is if one of them does have an attack of his Parkinson's disease, the other pilot's going to recover and take over and do whatever's necessary to land that plane. And I'm sorry that he has that.
That's what you've been told. Now let me tell you what the real impetus is behind all of that. The airlines, like any other product, recognize what customer service and what the saleability of a product is. They have two pilots up there, sir, on a transcontinental flight or an intercontinental flight because the passengers will feel nervous if they don't.
No, that's not quite true.
Are you telling me that they...
No, I'm telling you that's 100% why there's two pilots up there.
No, what if the pilot were to pass out?
Phil, you could get a flight attendant to go up there and push a few buttons.
Oh, come on, man.
Look, you guys think it's the movie Airport. Is that what you think? I bet you that's what you guys think. I bet you think that there's a pilot up there, and he's holding a rag to his face, and he's screaming Mayday as the plane is coming down. It just doesn't happen like that anymore.
We know from our own experience in the news, that pilot, that Delta jet that came in over Sioux City, remember that one?
I don't know.
The hydraulics went out on it. You remember that? You remember that one, Larry?
Yeah.
Okay. You remember that? That was hair-raising, man.
They made a big deal out of it.
A big deal? The freaking guy saw the video. The thing was, it was doing cartwheels down the runway. I mean, it was going wing over wing.
Well, I don't know what that. See, that guy, and he was healthy. Now, what do you say to that, Larry?
I don't understand what your point is. See, I think the point you're trying to make is just absolutely asinine that you think that the public or the FAA or anybody else wants to have somebody who has a known defect up there that could go awry at any given time and put health and safety of the public that's on the plane and the public that's on the ground. And I just think that, and I'm sorry that you're sick, and I'm sorry the other people are sick, but there are certain professions that you ought not to do. And well, when you get too old and you can't see and you have Parkinson's and you have these other things, you should not fly.
And you got pilots.
There's a reason for that.
And you mentioned a pilot with paranoid schizophrenia, and that he could shake hands with the customers for 30 seconds.
He can fly. Look, you guys didn't answer my question. That pilot, that Delta jet that went down over Sioux City, perfectly healthy man, huh? Yeah. I think you're supposed to land it on the wheels, not the wings. Jesus. You guys call that a good landing?
What's your point?
My point is, there's your healthy pilot.
Regardless of whether they're a pilot or not, or whether they're sick or not, they're still human beings who can make a mistake. There's lots of pilots that make a mistake every day of their lives.
Well, the fact that Delta jet had a hydraulic failure or something, there was the...
Well, you don't know. The guy that was flying that thing, he probably had less ability to control an aircraft than very good friends of mine that I know who are legally blind in one eye.
Well, I tell you what, any pilot out there today, and I'll tell you any one of them, that would protect anybody that's legally blind or drinking on the job or using dope or using anything else, they ought to have both of their arms pulled out by their armpits.
Well,
I mean, that's absolutely asinine.
If that guy that you just talked about could land a plane better and operate an aircraft better than most pilots, then what do you say?
Wait a minute, you telling me that a drug addict...
I know some guys, yes.
That have drug addiction.
Yes. That are better pilots than that healthy pilot that brought the plane down in Sioux City on its back. He tried to land it upside down. Jesus, I can't believe you guys.
All right, look, Larry, thank you for your call, sir. 1-800-449-8686. Jason, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I can't believe this guy's even on the air. I don't know how you can pass an FAA physical, fly an aircraft, think that drug abusers or anybody could be flying a plane safely to protect our citizens in America.
Well, I'm
and
just
if you
saying
got
that.
Physicians that are passing your FAA physicals, they need to lose their license.
Wait a minute. I'm just saying I got a right to a job like anybody else.
Yeah, go drive a trash truck or do something else that doesn't risk the lives of 400 people.
Well, I can tell you right there, you showed your ignorance. I could drive a trash truck right through a kindergarten classroom. Now is it safe?
Go do something that you don't risk the lives of others that are not knowing that you have Parkinson's or you're a drug abuser.
Well, sir, I would love to be able to do what you asked me to do, but there's reasons why I'm fighting for pilots. There are very good pilots out there, yes, who have a drug addiction problems or alcoholism. Why can't they fly if they can fly better? I don't know one drug addict who's a pilot who's landed a plane on its back the way that guy did in Sioux City.
How many guys do you know flying commercially that are drug addicts?
I'm afraid that's none of your business. I'm flying right now. Well,
I think what I hear is you avoiding a lot of questions.
Ask me a question. I'm flying right now.
You're flying. I can hear you're flying a prop job. Is that your plane?
Yeah.
Sorry, you're not flying.
Look at this. This guy's he's driving with a dog in his lap. Who's more unsafe, me or him? I think the answer to that question is him. Isn't that right, Jason? You got it.
All right, well, thank you, sir.
Look at Jason. I'll tell you what. You know what? I think your friend there needs a little attention.
All right. Thank you very much. When did you get in the aircraft?
Yeah, see, that's how good I am. I took an aircraft off all while I'm talking on a talk show. And you guys didn't know it. Why? Because you don't know what it is to be a pilot. I'm flying along, singing a song. It's a beautiful night.
Well, that's your private plane, and you can do what you want. Okay?
Yeah, you're right. I can. But
if you're in a commercial aircraft, and you have a paranoid schizophrenic episode...
What are you talking about? Are you some kind of a doctor?
I happen to know that those guys all of a sudden can wig out. Not wig out, like, violently, but suddenly the sky's upside down, and stuff doesn't look the way it's supposed to look.
Hey, you remember when John Kennedy went down? Stuff didn't look very good that day either. The sky was upside down. His wife was yammering about shopping in New York. And that guy was supposedly really healthy. And guess what he did? He took a perfectly good aircraft and decided to just take it nose first into the Atlantic because he couldn't take it any longer.
So John Kennedy Jr. crashed his plane on purpose.
I think so, yes. Probably having to listen to guys like you.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that concludes the interview.
Well, if you don't have the guts, Mr. Hendry.
Yeah. 1-800-449-8686. On the line with me is Art Griego. You know, if a guy's got schizophrenia, and that's one thing, and stuff doesn't look right, so what, are you telling me John Kennedy Jr. had schizophrenia, and the cat, you know, I don't know what happened to him, man. He thought the ocean was the sky. I don't know what that is, but I understand it's very common. And I don't see why. What?
It's called nuts. Oh, I understand it's very common. He thought the ocean was the sky.
1-800-449-8686.
I don't know, a $200, $300, $1,000 a day heroin user, but could land a plane better than the guy that landed it on its back in Sioux City. What are you telling me?
The Sioux City crash was the result of some kind of a hydraulic failure. Not the pilot. The pilot brought that thing in, saved a lot of lives. Okay?
You're sure of that?
What do you mean, am I sure? I remember the story. I read about it extensively. I know that there was some kind of a hydraulic malfunction, which meant that it...
What does that mean, hydraulic malfunction? You're not a pilot.
All I know is it was like the power steering going out. That's the way he described it. Driving a truck with no power steering down a windy road. And I can imagine... I know what that feels like.
You've driven a truck with no power steering down a windy road.
I've driven a damn truck down a windy road. That's good enough for me. Forget about what I know, man. Who? All right, I got a guy here in line, too. Is this Tim?
This is Tim, yes.
Tim, now, you are familiar with the gentleman, the pilot, the Delta pilot who landed that craft at Sioux City, correct?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, sir. Tell us what you know.
Well, that was actually United Flight 232.
That's
right.
It
was a DC-10.
Yeah.
And it had a hydraulic malfunction because the number two engine, when it disintegrated, sent pieces of the engine through all three hydraulic lines that run through the horizontal stabilizer.
Yeah, why did the engine disintegrate?
I believe they had
a
crack in one of the fan blades, and it caused the whole thing to go. And it sent, it's like a hand grenade, it sent the shower of parts down from the top through the horizontal stabilizer.
Right. In that situation, you got a healthy pilot, Phil. What difference does it make whether the guy is a quadriplegic? You're done.
No.
See what I'm saying? So, like, if I was flying that plane, if a completely personality disintegrated psychotic was flying that plane, you're cooked anyway, so who cares if the guy's healthy?
What do you mean you're cooked? That guy brought that plane in safe.
There were actually three pilots flying that airplane. The only way that airplane was controlled was by using differential power on the remaining good engines.
There was a
Czech airman on board in the back of that airplane that actually came up and helped those other two control it. There are two pilots in that cockpit for redundancy and safety. It has nothing to do with the passenger's perception of one pilot or not.
Yeah, but
I've been a professional airline captain for 10 years for a major airline. I know.
Well, that's what they tell you.
That's what they tell me. I have met personally Al Haynes. I have sat through several of his lectures.
Now, Al Haynes is the pilot of the United Jet.
Al Haynes was the captain of United 232.
Right.
It's not what they tell me. It's what I've seen in 10 years' experience of flying the skies in all kinds of weather and all kinds of situations.
Flying the friendly skies,
in the United States.
Tim, I would not... I'm just saying this. I think it's good that you're friends with Mr. Haynes, or you know, is that his name?
You should know this man's name. He saved a lot of people's
Alan
lives.
Al
Haynes.
Yeah. But if you're calling up to give a commercial for United, Jesus, don't they spend enough money?
What are you talking about?
Well, he's plugged in United.
I'm not doing a commercial for any airline. I'm just saying I fly for United. I don't fly for United.
You fly for United, right?
No,
he doesn't.
Well, he said United about 9 times.
Okay.
Because whoever was on before was calling it Delta.
I was using United
to put the accident in the correct context.
That was my mistake.
You can go find the book or anything on the evaluation of that aircraft.
Thank you very much, sir.
Or the NTSB file.
All right, thank you very much.
And you're plugging in Delta. Boy, you guys, between the two of you, man, you'd be partying with the flight attendants, I guess.
You know what? All right, 1-800-449-8686. All right, but if you're flying a commercial jet... All right, never mind. Marguerite, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Art Griego.
Art, is it a pilot, Art Griego?
What's that, ma'am?
What is the pilot's name?
My name is Art Griego, ma'am.
Okay, I'll remember and not have you as a pilot. I travel a lot.
Well, you don't think I'm using my real name, do you?
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're a smarty aleck anyway.
I'm a smarty aleck. Well, let me tell you.
I think you minimize the skills of pilots. You're setting a bad example for the young people who want to pursue a career in aviation.
I don't think there's anything wrong with aviation. I just want the
kids
who are going to go...
You're minimizing the skills.
I think they should go into astronaut work or something where it takes some talent, that's all.
How old are you?
I'm
I know
35.
I won't get the right answer.
I'm 36 years old.
Well...
I'm 35.
Well, your voice is quivering. I believe your Parkinson's is showing. I know people...
Well, look at you making fun of me with the disease. That's really nice of you, Marguerite.
I know of people who have Parkinson's, and they shake.
Would you be one of them? Would you be one of them?
No. I have a dear friend who has... He lost his driver's license. But,
well, ma'am, the elderly are at risk, you know, driving anyway, all right?
Well, thank you. I'm 80 years old. Thank you for the compliment.
You don't want me flying an aircraft because I've got Parkinson's, and yet you want you old people to be just running through the streets.
Okay, now, anybody in transportation...
Right, now, hold on for a minute.
Let me finish. Well, anybody in transportation has to take a random drug test. Bus drivers, air traffic controllers...
But not you.
I'm not working. I'm a retired person.
Do you drive a car?
Certainly.
Okay, you could actually lose control of that car and kill somebody.
Well,
many old people have Parkinson's. Ma'am, many old people have driven over bus stops,
all right.
Dragged
I
bodies
know
for
my
hundreds of miles.
But what I want to point out...
I got to take your word for that.
That air traffic controllers know you dummy pilots that go out there. They have total control over you, the air traffic controllers, when you come into an airport.
La, 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 la.
Oh, yes. So don't kick yourself.
My God. Oh,
and I've
God.
Read a lot of articles about this.
I'm stalling. Marguerite?
Your air traffic controllers are the real controllers of the FAA, not you pilots.
We lost the connection to the pilot, Marguerite. Apparently his plane stalled.
Well, maybe he got Parkinson's. He couldn't get the what you call it, fast enough to land.
Can you hold on for just a minute?
Yeah.
Art?
I pulled it out just long enough to tell Marguerite that even though I know I'm going to die in seconds, I forgive you. I forgive you. Boy, now I don't forgive you. I hope you cook.
You wouldn't say that to your mother.
How does it feel? Yes, I just did. I called her on the cell phone and said, I hope you burn in hell too.
Goodbye.
Know.